Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with Dr. Meg Meeker, our physician in residence and member of our broadcast team. And I am truly excited to have Dr. Meeker here as our in-house expert to discuss the subject of learning disorders.
You know, Ryan, I'm thrilled to be here too, particularly for this topic, because there's so many misconceptions wrapped up in this issue. And I hope that during our show, we can dispel a lot of false information and hopefully get some kids the help they need so they can succeed in school.
Well, I hate the thought of any child not getting the help for a learning disorder just because their parents or teachers either didn't have the information they needed or just had wrong information.
Yeah.
So let's jump in, Dr. Meeker. Let's start off on the right foot and get everybody on the same page. What do you define as a learning disorder?
Well, you know, a learning disorder is a very broad, covers a lot of very broad things. But fundamentally, a learning disorder is a processing issue in the brain. It's a neurologic issue. It's not an intelligence issue. It's not a behavioral issue. It's about how the brain receives, processes, and then responds to information that it takes in. And there's a lot of stigma surrounding learning disorders, and I think it's really important that parents understand this really has nothing to do with intelligence or intention. This is a neurologic issue.
So maybe explain a little deeper how that a learning disorder doesn't imply that a child has any less intelligence.
Well, you know, intelligence is one thing, but a learning disorder is a very fundamental issue of a child seeing or hearing or taking in any kind of information, and then that information has to get processed somehow, and then a child has to decide, well, what am I going to do with that now?
Right.
Intelligence is different because it's a higher level of functioning. It's not just a mechanical issue. And really what we're talking about with learning disorders is the mechanics of processing information.
We experienced this in our own home. I was diagnosed with a learning disability in math, but I didn't get diagnosed till I was 23.
Wow.
And in fact, the person that diagnosed me was a little angry that it hadn't been found out in that long. And I think there's probably reasons for it. But I remember my parents' reaction was interesting. You know, they wanted to know a lot of information about it. I've been tested out high. I have a great IQ, all of those things. But I really do struggle with the math processing. And it comes up, and for me, I'm 43. It gets embarrassing where I'm thinking, well, I have to get up tomorrow and I've got a flight at 10 and I have to be at the airport at this time, which means I have to get up at this time. And often, or most of the time, I make Laura look at my schedule to make sure that I've done the math correctly.
Yep.
And, you know, 30, 40% of the time, it's not. And I'm glad I checked. And every now and then I get up an hour late and I go, oh, no,
Here we go.
And I'm rushing around. And I think that's where it has nothing to do with my intelligence, but I process math very poorly.
Well, and as a matter of fact, people who are highly intelligent who have a learning disorder sometimes never find out they have the learning disorder because they compensate or they just, you know, figure out other ways to solve the problem, or they just learn to deal with not being organized or not being on time or whatever. And I think it's important because people with a learning disorder often feel embarrassed or stigmatized.
Yeah.
And some parents in the old days wouldn't allow their, and I'm not saying this is what your parents did because clearly your dad wouldn't, but they wouldn't have their kids tested because they didn't want them to be tagged as having a learning disorder.
When you talk about certain teachers and different people having wrong information, when my dad got his PhD, they were taught that kids grow out of being ADD and ADHD, that when you hit puberty and your hormones change, then there are no adults that suffer with ADD.
Yeah.
And at the same time I was diagnosed with a math disorder, the doctor said, well, you know Ryan's ADHD. And we were all like, well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
He's like, but do you know that what that means for a 23-year-old or what it means for a 30-year-old or a 40-year-old?
We've come a long way.
Yeah.
And it's great. We know so much more about learning issues than we ever did before.
Yeah.
And I think that's important, too, because as a child, I don't know if this was the case for you, but for many children who find out they have dyslexia, ADHD, or something else, they feel that there's something wrong with them. Often kids will say to me, I feel stupid. And I said, it's not stupid. It's not a self-esteem issue. So I think the more we understand and learn about learning disorders, the more we can help kids just feel good about life.
Sure. Well, you talked about dyslexia. I have a friend with dyslexia who's one of the best contractors I've ever known.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a super genius, and he listens to audiobooks because when he reads, he reverses words.
Yeah, and that's important to learn how to do. And some people learn how to do that even without a diagnosis. That's what I mean with the compensation.
Sure. Well, we just talked about dyslexia. What are some of the common learning disabilities that we talk about?
Well, dyslexia is actually one of the most common. And dyslexia is a language-based processing disorder. Mm-hmm. And dyslexia impacts reading, writing, spelling, and it's important if you feel that your child may have dyslexia or any of the other learning disorders that you check their hearing and their vision well. Mm. Because if a child can't see well or a child can't hear well, they may look like they have dyslexia or one of the other learning issues. Dyslexia, of course, is the one we know the most about. It's been more highly researched, and we have some very good solutions for dyslexia. And we know as well a lot about ADHD, but there are a lot of other ones that we need to look into that are a little more subtle and aren't as obvious as dyslexia. A lot of teachers will be cued into at first about children having a learning issue because maybe their grades drop. Maybe kids will stop concentrating. They'll start bouncing in their seat because mm-hmm. they really can't read or they can't study.
Oh, sure.
They can't process their information. So in addition to dyslexia, one of the other common ones we never think about is something called dysgraphia. Dysgraphia, and that has to do with writing, how you can write your letters, how you can write your words. Some people, if you'll notice, they're adults, and they're not all physicians. You can't read their handwriting. Or they go to write, and they're incredibly slow in writing, because they have difficulty forming shapes and forming letters. Again, for a very intelligent person, this is very frustrating.
Sure. Does it transfer over into typing, or is it just in the physical
really
written?
No, just in the physically written word.
So again, you can compensate.
You can compensate. Mm-hmm. And now we have computers, and of course we have spell check, and we have kids who can actually, my husband can't type, so he uses Dragon on his computer.
Oh,
so
right.
He can actually talk into his computer. So unfortunately, a lot of these disorders may go unnoticed because of modern technology.
Hmm.
But that's one that's not terribly uncommon. Kids with dysgraphia can not only have poor handwriting, but maybe they just can't spell very well.
Sure.
They can't get the letters in the right sequence, or they can't get the words in a sentence in the right sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a sequencing issue as well. And that's one of the more common ones.
Yeah. And did you experience a lot of this in your practice?
Well, I have. But again, a lot of disorders can go undiagnosed or can go misdiagnosed.
Mm-hmm.
Parents may think a child's just being lazy or a child's being sloppy.
Right.
One of the difficulties I find with boys as well, you know, boys are slower in learning to read typically, or they're slower in learning to color in the lines.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not because they can't. They just don't want to.
Yeah, maybe
they don't feel
sure
the reason mm-hmm. for coloring in the lines. They just feel like there's really no reason to do it. So why should I?
Yeah.
So a lot of times kids will have these learning disorders, but they'll go right by because you know a parent thinks something else is going on.
Yeah. And do you ever get the parent? Well, you get both extremes where some parents are like, "Nope, my kid's fine. Everything's okay. Don't worry about it." Or you get the overdiagnose
completely,
where you've got the parent that's like, my kid has everything.
Yes.
So what do you say to either? How do you calm that parent back that's like, I think my kid has all these things? Because that's going to transfer. Whether they're saying it out loud to their child or not, the child's going to get the hint.
Yeah. Every child knows how to read his parent to find out the information that's most important to him.
Oh, yeah.
And so kids read and they know, and you're absolutely right. Parents react in many different ways. There's the one parent whose child is going all the way through middle school and is really keeps flunking math over and over and over, and has the mother or father says, there's nothing wrong with my kid. He's just kind of lazy.
Right.
He's just got to, you know, buckle down and get him a desk and pull that chair up close to the desk and make him sit there and do his math. Well, that child, maybe he really he can't do his math.
Right, maybe not.
On the other hand, you have the parent who has a kindergartner or first grader who's watching everything the child does. And as a parent and a grandparent, I understand this. We all believe that our children are extraordinary, extraordinarily intelligent, extraordinarily neat, whatever it is, so that our kids should be a little more advanced. So we're watching for that advancement. So if our child isn't advanced in kindergarten, or in first grade, or in second grade, we're convinced it's not their fault. They have a problem. And our job as a conscientious parent is to identify the problem and get help very quickly so we can get them from the slow reading group to the fast reading group very quickly.
See, it's interesting. Dr. Arch Hart was here a while ago, and he said whenever he has a parent tell him that their child is gifted, he says, my response is always the same. I'm sorry. And I thought that was really, and I said, why is that? And he said, because gifted kids feel things more deeply.
Yes.
He said, there are higher highs, there are much lower lows. They struggle in ways that average people don't. He said, average kids are great kids. There's nothing wrong with a gifted kid, but they will struggle in ways that average kids don't. There's nothing wrong with having a kid that's in the regular reading group or in the regular math group who's not excelling at everything. That doesn't have to be super geniuses all over the place.
Exactly. And I think the pressure on kids, we have talented and gifted programs in our area. And I agree. I feel sorry for the kids because I think they're not allowed to fail. They're not expected to fail at anything. And it's not just academics. It's at anything. They're supposed to be gifted at everything. And there's just a lot of pressure on kids to perform all the time. Those kids feel like they need to be on all the time.
Oh, yeah. Man, the pressure on a child.
Yeah.
Man, my first college, I got into playing ping pong, and there was a bunch of guys that played, and they were really good. And in that town was a former Olympian, and he would bring his kids because he wanted them to be Olympic ping pong players, table tennis.
Table tennis,
that
yes.
we called it then, yes. Never tell a professional it's ping pong.
Yeah.
His youngest was the most gifted, but at the time, I'm going to go 4 or 5. He was young, but very, very gifted. But at times didn't want to play as long as his dad wanted him to play and would cry. And we didn't want to play him then.
No.
You don't want to play a kid that's crying, that doesn't want to be there. But the added pressure was if we then refused to play, he would get chewed out.
Oh.
And so then we're the cause of more of it. And so you're sitting there and you've got a kid crying and there's pressure on him. And he was little. I thought, go, let him go out and play when he wants to play ping. I mean, he's so good. At some point, he's going to want to play the college kids and beat the college kids.
Yes.
But right now, maybe sandbox, maybe swings,
maybe
a truck, something.
Exactly.
But that pressure, I mean, you do it too much. And then you get a Todd Marinovich situation where he never had a Twinkie and he ate organic and all that stuff. Well, he got to college and exploded or imploded, so to speak. And he struggled.
And I think our expectations on kids like that are just way too high. I think, too, in our zealousness to be conscientious parents, this can particularly come out academically. I think of boys in particular in the first and second grade whose parents are looking at everything they write and everything they do and waiting for that learning disorder to surface or whatever. And honestly and truly, sometimes what those kids just need is time.
Yeah, especially in boys.
Especially in boys. They just need more time. So when I have a first or second grader come in my office and the parent says, I'm concerned about a learning issue or ADHD, you know, the teacher says he's bouncy, I always say, let's take a big deep breath.
Is he 5? Is he 6?
Yeah, and let's just wait here because parents and teachers want a diagnosis and a name so they can identify something so they have an answer and a solution.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes we don't want to tag anybody with anything. We just want to let things sort of play themselves out.
Yeah.
And we've got to be a little more comfortable just not knowing. It's really as the kids get older that we have to focus and do a little more digging. By the time a boy is in the 3rd or 4th grade, and he has an undiagnosed learning disorder, that's the time when I go to the parent who comes into me and says, I think there's something wrong. I say, okay, well, then let's dig and let's figure this out. But let's not be quick in finding a diagnosis because once you make the diagnosis, it's hard to rewind.
Yeah.
And so
stick with them even if it's not
exactly
there.
Well, you've got ADHD. And then a couple months later, whoops, sorry, you don't really have ADHD. You really can't read very well because maybe your vision's poor, and that's why you can't concentrate. you know, so it's hard to rewind. So I want to encourage parents to go very, very slowly and to use very good resources too. Don't let anybody diagnose your child too quickly. But at the same time, we don't want kids to get to the fifth grade and they've had dyslexia all this time and nobody really knew it. So you have to finesse that.
Well, let's ask you two questions. What are some of the red flags parents could be looking for? And what should parents do if they are concerned their child has a learning disability? So give some red flags that you say, yes, around this age, these are things you could be looking at. And then what do parents do?
Yeah. Well, I think that, and I really don't start looking for anything, you know, until first grade. But I think that in first grade, if you find a child just can't seem to catch on in one area where they can catch on in another area. For instance, they can read, they enjoy books, they like music, they get along with everybody in their class. But when it comes to numbers, they just can't do it. They can't do it. So you wait that out. Sometimes kids who have attention deficit hyperactivity may have social issues because they're hitting other kids in their class. They just got too much energy for one little person to have. Mm-hmm. And they're getting into trouble a lot. They're the kid that's fighting on the playground. They're not mean. They just have too much energy.
Yeah.
So if you're finding things like that, or the teacher is coming to you and says, you know, I have to talk to your son or daughter every other day about this issue. This is a problem. And another teacher is saying it too. Then that's a red flag.
Yeah. And with ADHD, you also need to look at, is your child getting enough sleep?
Oh, yeah.
Are you eating enough protein? Are they getting food at regular intervals? I mean, it could. And unfortunately, with ADHD, sometimes there's a discipline issue.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes parents have no rules and a kid's running wild. My goodness. Last year, I was in a restaurant with a friend of mine who's a teacher, and there were two kids literally racing through the restaurant. I mean, chairs tipped over and people were getting bumped. And he looked over and he goes, and they wonder why they're having a tough time in school.
Right.
You know, you can't get them to sit down at a restaurant.
Yeah.
But you expect us to get them to sit for an entire day and listen to lectures.
Right.
I mean, here in the restaurant, there's things to look at. And there's food and you can get more food and there's a drink and there's all things for stimulation and input.
Yeah.
In a classroom, I mean, what are we left to work with?
Well, and actually, you know, and we can talk about ADHD in a couple minutes because that's sort of the biggie, you know, learning disorder out there that everybody's worried about and concerned about. But it really can look like a lot of other learning disorders. For instance, if you do have dyslexia, you do have dyspraxia, or you do have dyscalculia, which is kind of a funny word. It's having difficulty with math. You just can't do numbers. You can't add. You can't subtract. It isn't one single type of math disorder, but it's all of math. It's just a part of a brain that cannot process the information correctly. Well, if you sit down and you're trying to do math, or you're trying to do your reading, you're trying to do something else, and it makes you feel stupid or you can't get it, of course you're not going to concentrate. You're going to find every reason to get up out of your seat.
Sure.
So, you know, or ADHD, kids who have depression can look like they have ADHD because they're constantly feeling so dark and their life feels so gray that they can't focus. Having confused thinking is part of depression. So when somebody comes in to see me, and they say, I have this, or my child has this, or this, or this. That's why I go through a whole rigorous process of trying to figure out what the child has and ruling out, is it a learning issue? Is it truly ADHD, or is it a mood disorder? Because all of those can kind of overlap.
Sure. Dr. Meeker, let's briefly talk about some of the other disorders that are out there.
Sure. You know, we touched on dyslexia, dysgraphia, dyscalculia, but there's some other disorders. Dyspraxia. Dyspraxia is a disorder of motor skill development. These are the kids that just look sort of awkward or clumsy. Again, the child may know in his mind, it's time to leave. I need to wave goodbye, and they can't get their hand to wave goodbye.
Okay.
They can have difficulty doing a simple task like brushing their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
So dyspraxia can look like a lot of different things. Often an occupational therapist will be able to diagnose it because they say, you know, you know that your body wants to do something and you can't get your body to do it. Mm-hmm. That's what dyspraxia is. You can also have something called executive functioning disorder, where you can have difficulty planning, organizing, using your time and space well. And I realize as I say this, everybody's going to go, that's me, that's
yeah,
me.
Yeah, sure.
But you can see that's part of ADHD as well. Mm-hmm. These are people that can't finish tasks, and that's classic in an ADHD person. People with executive functioning troubles can have memory issues, and they can have memory issues even when they're quite young. So these are people that have difficulty planning, keeping track of more than one thing at a time. They're poor multitaskers. Mm-hmm. They have difficulty with organization, keeping track of time. And young adults, this will affect their careers, their money management, their relationships. So it can impact many different aspects of your life. And that's why I think it's important for parents to not be paranoid about your child having a learning issue, but just to be wise and to be watchful of something that your child may be doing or not doing that all of his friends are doing.
Yeah, definitely. Dr. Meeker, you've been a pediatrician for 25 years. It feels that we're now getting into the self-diagnosis more and more and more, where we look up things online and we're looking at symptoms and then we go, oh, that's what I've got, or right, that's what my kid's got. Are you finding that more in your practice?
Absolutely.
Where parents come in and they're like, I've looked online and this is what my kid has?
I call it the medical student syndrome. When I was in medical school, I gave myself a tumor and leukemia and meningitis and all these different things, because the more you read, the more similarity you find in the words and yourself. And
sure,
before long, you're going to find something wrong. But I think that's a very dangerous thing to do. There's so much information out there. There's good information, but there's a lot of bad information mm-hmm. as well. Mm-hmm. And I think, first of all, a parent cannot be unbiased towards their child. So you really need to find a physician that you trust and say, here's what I'm seeing. Now you tell me if you think this is wrong with my child.
You told me that. When we were at the event in Palm Springs together, I was talking about growing up ADHD and wondering if Lincoln has that. And you said, your job is not to diagnose your son. You're not a doctor. You need to get to a trained specialist if that's what you want to find out. And I remember thinking that was so smart. I told Laura that night, and she's like, yeah, that's true, you know.
Your job is to be dad.
Yep.
You know, your job is not to be the psychologist and the physician and the, you know, financial advisor, whatever. And I think that we've taken on that role as parents. We need to think we need to be more than just mom or dad to our kids.
Right.
But particularly when it comes to learning issues, it's very important that parents keep their wits about them and say, I think there may be trouble. I'm going to educate myself a little bit, but I'm going to take my child in. And once he has a diagnosis, mm-hmm. then I'm going to read about it. Because that's going to be scary enough. But don't read before. Try to figure out what your child has and then bring him into the doctor and say, this is what we have. Because that's a dangerous thing to do. I see parents and teachers do that all the time. Mm. And often it's a misdiagnosis. And that's very dangerous, because I can say, I know you think he has ADHD. He really doesn't have that. He has dyslexia. It's hard for that parent to undo their thinking, well, I'm convinced he has ADHD.
Right.
And then to open
their
mind.
But I read all that stuff online.
Exactly. But I read all that and it fits. So it's very hard for me to convince them, no, it's another issue. You need to scrap this one, because there's a huge bias they've built in already.
Sure. Well, Dr. Meeker, we have run out of time for today, but there's a good resource that you were telling me about during a break for parents. And we're going to have a link to it on our website. Our website's drjamesdobson.org. But tell parents real quickly what this link is.
Yeah, it's a terrific resource, and it's free, and anybody can find it. It's L as in Lucy, D as in dog, Navigator, LD.
Or learning disorder.
Or learning disorder, mm-hmm. navigator.nc. ld.org.
And we'll have that link at drjamesdobson.org.
Yes.
But what's that website going to do for parents?
What it's going to do is help parents understand more about learning disorders. It's not meant for you to diagnose your child, but if your child has been given a diagnosis of dyspraxia, dyslexia, or any of the others, you can go there and read about it, mm-hmm. not just to find out more about it, but then what you can do for your child and how to find really good resources and tools for your child.
All right. Well, let's wrap it up for today. And tomorrow, let's talk a little bit more about ADHD.
Great.
Let's talk about medication And let's give parents some solutions for what they can do if they find out their child has a learning disorder or if they suspect their child has a learning disorder. You've been listening to the first part of a program we've titled Learning Disorders here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and as you heard on today's broadcast, the web offers so much information on learning disorders that it's often hard to know what is good information and to diagnose what's really going on with your child. Well, Dr. Mika will be back with us next time to finish up this broadcast, but before we go, I want to mention a few trustworthy resources that you might find helpful. On the program, we mentioned a resource called the LD Navigator. That stands for Learning Disorder Navigator. And if you would like to check out that website, we have a link posted on drjamesdobson.org. And while you're online, check out the many resources that my dad, Dr. James Dobson, has written on parenting. There are several books there, including Dare to Discipline, Parenting Isn't for Cowards, and The Strong-Willed Child. And I also noticed that in my dad's book, Solid Answers, he responds to several questions on ADD and ADHD, as well as on how to discipline a child affected by disabilities. To pick up a copy of any or all those books I just mentioned, you can visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, or you can call us at 877-732-6825. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you again next time for the conclusion of Learning Disorders with Dr. Meg Meeker, right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.